Okay, good morning and good night, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Tzia daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the end of the page. Omer Matiran, O Ein Omer Matiran. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, Adeline Lishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, also by Andrew Arking, Lila Nishmas' grandfather, whose eighth Yahrzeit is today, Nisham Shavn Aliyah, and also by Shani and Beir Sober, Lila Nishmas, Shani's aunt, Hinda Bas Yaakov, who was niftar over the first days of Yom Tov, Nisham Shavn Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is finish up the discussion we were having yesterday about kernels that you had, that you put into the ground, but have not yet taken root in the ground. So we had three shailas relating to such kernels, and one of them relates to the Karban Omer, which was our massive Dafyomi coincidence of yesterday, but we didn't really get to discuss that in any sort of detail yesterday. So we're going to pick up with that. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether Bittul Mekach applies to items that Ona'a doesn't apply to, because the Mishnah that we saw had listed a whole bunch of things, Karka and Hegdish, a whole bunch of things that you don't apply Ona'a to. Okay, so you don't apply Ona'a, but what if it's mispriced by way more than 1/6? Do we apply the dinim of Bittul Mekach? Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about when we say that Hekdesh needs to be reimbursed for an uneven pidyon, where Hekdesh gets the short end of the stick on a pidyon, that you need to reimburse Hekdesh. Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is that a din da'oraisa or is that a din midrabanan? And the Gemara is going to have three explanations of what that machlokas is really about, whether it's a din da'oraisa or a din d'rabanan. Then on Amud Bey, the Gemara is going to have a discussion of the Shita of Rav Chista that Hekdesh has Ona'a on even less than the sixth. Meaning, when we said in our Mishnah that Hekdesh doesn't have Ona'a, it means it doesn't have the normal rules of Ona'a. It has even stricter rules of Ona'a, which is obviously not the pashtus of the Mishnah. It made it sound like there are no dinim of Ona'a by Hekdesh. So we're going to discuss Rav Chista's Shita that it means that it has even stricter rules of Ona'a. Bryce is going to mention some concept of ribis relating to Hekdesh. So we're going to try to figure out what even is a case where Hekdesh would be involved in ribis. What would even be this situation? Then the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to go through the sources for all of the other dinim in the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah had mentioned, in addition to Ona'a, four other dinim that don't apply to avadim and shtaros and karkaos and hekdeshos. We mentioned how kefel doesn't apply, and arba v'chamisha doesn't apply, and shomer chinam being nishpa doesn't apply, and shomer sachar being mishalim for gnei v'aveda doesn't apply. So where do I know all that from? How do I see that those dinim don't apply to these items, to avadim, shtaros, karkaos, and hekdeshos? So let's pick up again four lines from the end of the page on daf nun vav amud beis. Omer matiran, o ein omer matiran. So the background is that the Torah teaches us v'lechem v'kali v'chamer lo sochlu ad etzem ayom hazeh ad aviyachem es karban elokeichem, that one is not allowed to eat tvua chadasha that grew this year until the bringing of the karban omer, which happens on the second day of Pesach. So on the second day of Pesach, when they bring the karban omer, which is what triggers the chiyuv of Sviras HaOmer, so you're allowed to have the new grain that grew that year. So now this wheat that we were talking about, that you put back into the ground, Omer Matiran, does the Karban Omer that we brought yesterday, or we would have brought yesterday when there was a base of English, that on the second day of Pesach, is that Matirit, or is that not Ma'oein Omer Matirin, or is that not Matirit? So says Marwal Hechidami, what exactly are we talking about? Ida Ashrosh, if this wheat took root in the ground so before the Karban Omer was brought, so Tanina, that's Beferish in the Mishnah, and Ida Loish Ashrosh, and if they never took root in the ground, Tanina, that's also Beferish in the the Mishnah. Ditnan, because the Mishnah says in Maseches Menachos, when it comes to the Chameshes Minei Daga that you're not allowed to eat prior to the bringing of the Korban Omer, Im Yishrishu Kodim LaOmer Omer Matiran, that if they took root in the ground before the bringing of the Korban Omer, then the Korban Omer works its magic on it, and that's not called Tvoa Chadasha. The Omer is going to be Matirit V'imlav, but if it did not take root in the ground prior to the bringing of the Korban Omer, Asrinat Sheovar Omer Abba, then that grain is going to be Chadash until next year's Korban Omer. It's going to be also until the following year's Korban Omer. So answer Gemara, Lo Tzricha Dechatzdinu V'zarinu Kodam LaOmer. Now the case of Rava is that it was something that you had harvested, it was wheat that you had harvested, and then you replanted prior to the Korban Omer, V'asalei Omer V'chalafi Levayhu. And then the Korban Omer was brought while it was hidden in the ground, while it was buried in the ground. V'lo Ashrush, but they didn't take root, Kodam LaOmer, prior to the bringing of the Korban Omer. So Ma'al Minka Tomechu Minayu, are you allowed to take that wheat out without violating an Yisr Chadash? Meaning, command the Shadin B'kad Dami, while it's in the ground, we just view it as if it's in a container, because it was already harvested wheat, and therefore it's as if you put it in a storage container, even though the storage container happens to be the ground, Visharinu Omer, and therefore the Korban Omer is Matarit Ba'achila, Udilma Batlinu Agavara. Or maybe no, now it's considered to be bottled to the ground, it's in the ground, and since it hasn't taken root, the Korban Omer is not going to be able to be Matarit. So that is the Shaila. And the Gemara says, Teku, that the Shaila is left with the Teku, not just this Shaila, but the other two Shailas that also were about the same issue, whether you're Nishba'in on it, right? Whether because in Nishba'in ala Karkaos, and whether there's a Dino of Na'a on it. All three Shailas about such items that were harvested from the ground and then put back in the ground, whether they're considered to be Munach Bekad or whether they're considered to be in the ground, all three Shailas remain a Teku. So that closes up our discussion from yesterday. Now, we had said in the Mishnah that Eildram Shein Lehem Onah, that the items that do not have Onah, that are not subject to Onah, are Avadim, Shtaros, Karkos, and Hekdeshos. So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chasa, Boy Rav Ami, Onah Ein Lehem, Bitul Mekach Yesh Lanu Ein Lehem. When we say that there's no Din Onah, that means that if it's mispriced by 1/6, we don't say the Din of Onah. But what if the Shir Onah is way more than 1/6 of the price? Normally, by a regular case, by Hedyot, by Metaltalin, the halacha is that the Mekach is Bata Legamri, that you just invalidate the entire sale. Would you say the same thing by Karkos and by Hekdeshos, that the Mekach is Bata Legamri? Or maybe you say, just like they don't have a din of Na'ah, so too they don't have a din of Bitul Mekach. What are the two tzadim of the Safik over here? Number one possibility is that Bitul Mekach really works midine Mekach Ta'us. So even though these items may not be subject to the dinim of Ona'ah, they're not going to be excluded from the dinim of Mekach Ta'us. Or maybe no, maybe since there was no actual Ta'us in the Cheshbon, it was only Ta'us in the pricing, and no one purposely deceived anybody, maybe you don't call that a Mekach Ta'us. Maybe you only call that Ona'ah, and the Torah excludes these items from the dinim of Ona'ah. So essentially we want to know, is Bitul Mekach a function of Mekach Ta'us, or is Bitul Mekach a function of Ona'a? Because Karka and Hegdish doesn't have Ona'a. So does it have Bitul Mekach? If it's a function of Mekach Ta'us, it would have Bitul Mekach. If it's a function of Ona'a, it wouldn't have Bitul Mekach either. So Rav Nachman, Hador Amar Rav Chasa, that Rav Chasa said that Pasha de Rav Ami, that Rav Ami had already answered this question, that Ona'a Ein Lehem, Bitul Mekach Yesh Lehem, that it's true, they don't have dinim of Ona'a, but Bitul Mekach it is subject to, and because they're never excluded from the parsha of Bitul Mekach. Rabbi Yona Amar Ekdeshos, Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar Akarkaos. Rabbi Yona says that what we are about to say relates to Ekdeshos. Rabbi Yirmiyah says what we're about to say relates to Karka, but Vitravai Mishmet Rabbi Yochanan Amru, they both said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ona'a Ein Lehem Bitul Mekach Yesh Lehem, that one of these items is not subject to Ona'a, but is subject to Bitul Mekach. One of these items, one of what items? So again, Rabbi Yona said, Hekdeshos, that Hekdeshos don't have Ona'a, but they do have Bitul Mekach. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said, karkos. That karkos don't have anah, but they do have bitul mekach. So mandi amar hekdeshos. Rabbi Yonah, who and they're both quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yonah, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan to say that the din of bitul mekach applies to hekdesh, even though klape hekdesh, which is the mammon of a kadosh baruch hu, you can't say that there was any taus, right? God doesn't make mistakes, but nevertheless, mekach taus, it's still considered a mekach taus, and the mekach is going to be batel, the transaction is going to be batel. So if you're going to say that about hekdesh, kol shkein karkos, then for sure you'll say it about karka, right? If you're going to say that there could be a din of bitul mekach even by hekdesh, where there's no taus that's ever made by a kadosh baruch hu, so obviously you're going to say the same thing when it comes to karka. But man diomar akarkaos, but Rabbi Yirmiyah, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan as having said that there's a din of bitul mekach by karka, aval hekdeshos lo, he probably would not say there's a din of bitul mekach by hekdeshos, because klapei Hashem there is no such thing as a taus, and therefore just like there's no din ona'a by hekdesh, there's no din of bitul mekach when it comes to hekdesh. So the Gemara says that this svara that we gave for Rabbi Yirmiyah, that there's not going to be bitul mekach when it comes to hekdesh, only when it comes to karka, is kiddush Shmuel. That's aligned with Shmuel. Damar Shmuel hekdesh shavamana shechilal shavaprutam. That if you have hekdesh that's worth a mana, that you are mechalel on something worth way, way less, worth only a pruta, the chilul happens, even though it's completely off in terms of the pricing. We don't say a din of bitul mekach because hekdesh is excluded from the dinim of ona'a as well as the dinim of bitul mekach, the din of mekach ta'us. I asked the Gemara on Rabbi Yochanan that it seems to be a stira within Rabbi Yochanan. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Meseches Temura that if someone is mechalel a behemah's hekdesh that does not have a mum, that's roy to use on the Mizbeach, and he's mechalel it for a behemah, that it's low as a klum, he didn't do anything because the behema that's royal mizbeach cannot be yotzei l'chulin. If you have a behema that is hooked ashlum mizbeach and nothing happened to it, it's still tamim, it's still perfectly physically able to be used on the mizbeach, you can't be mechal such a behema. But im hayakodesh balmum, but if you have a behemah's hekdesh that's a balmum, then yatzal chulin. Then you could be mechalalit and it will actually become chulin. And even though the behemah of hekdesh might be worth more than the behemah of chulin that you're transferring its kedusha on, the chilul is still going to work. But v'tzar chasos l'damim, you just need to make sure that you reimburse hekdesh. So I have this $500 animal that belongs to hekdesh, but it becomes a balmum, and now I transfer the Kedusha onto another animal that's only a $300 animal, so my initial animal of Hegdish is no longer Hegdish. The other animal, $300 animal, now becomes Hegdish, but I owe Hegdish $200. I need to make Hegdish whole for the discrepancy in value. So on that line in the Mishnah and Temura, we have a Machlokas Amoraim, that Om Rabbi Yochanan Yatzal L'chul in Dvar Torah. The fact that my $500 Hegdish animal is no longer Hegdish, that's a Din Midaraisa. But if it's our class of Sodomim, the fact that I need to reimburse Hekdesh the $200 differential, that's Midavrayim. That's only Midrabbanan. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, Reish Lakish, I'm Afsar class of Sodomim in a Torah. The whole thing is a Din Doraisa. The din that if I have the $500 animal now becomes chul in his daraisa, like Rabbi Yochanan said, and the din that I need to reimburse the $200 discrepancy is a din mi daraisa, not like Rabbi Yochanan says, because the Torah says when it comes to Hekdesh, it says erkecha, so we darshan that the pidyon needs to be keerko, its actual value. So you need to make up for it in terms of evening out the actual value. So the Gemara explains what exactly is the machloka. As Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, b'maya skinan. What exactly is the case? What is the differential between the value of the hegdish animal and the value of the chulun animal that you were mechal the hegdish on? Where we say that you just need to make hegdish whole again. Ilim b'kdeo na'a. If the differential was exactly 1/6 of the price. Ba'alim Reish Lakish Torah Klas Adam Dvar Torah. Can it be that Reish Lakish would say that you need to make Hekdesh Hol on a Daraisa level. Vatnan, that was the Mishnah we had in yesterday's daf. That Elu Dvarim Sheilem Onah HaKarkos VaAvadim HaShtaros VeHaHekdeshos. Hekdesh isn't subject to the Dinim of Onah. So it can't be that if it was off by exactly 1/6, that Reish Lakish is going to say that Midoraisa you have to make Hekdesh Hol. No, that would just be a Din of Onah. Hekdesh doesn't have a Din of Onah. So Ella, it must be that we're talking about Bitul Mekach, that it was like the example that I gave, where the discrepancy was much greater than a sixth. It was a $500 animal that you're mechalal on a $300 animal. So it's way more than Onah. And Rabbi Yochanan says that there's no din of reimbursing Hegdish on a Daraisa level, only on a Darabanan level. And Reish Lakish thinks such a din exists midoraisa. But Bahalim Rabbi Yochanan Tzarech La'asol Sodam midivreyem. That's where Rabbi Yochanan says that it's only a din midrabanan. Really? But Vam Rabbi Yona a Hegdeshos v'Yabriyem Yomar Karkaos v'Tavai Mishrei Rabbi Yochanan Amri Yonah in the Bitul Mekach Eishlem. According to Rabbi Yona's version of Rabbi Yochanan, there is Bitul Mekach by Hegdeshos on a Daraisa level. So that's our stira in Rabbi Yochanan. That on the one hand, we had Rabbi Yona's version of Rabbi Yochanan, is that there's Bitul Mekach on Hekdeshos. That we do apply a din of Bitul Mekach on Hekdeshos. And yet, the way we're interpreting the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, when it comes to being Mechala, the Behemoth Hekdesh, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Midrabanan, there's a din that you need to reimburse Hekdesh, you need to make Hekdesh whole. But there's no real din on a Daraisa level of Bitul Mekach. Now, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, it's not a kasha, because according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Hekdeshos in a chinami do not have a din of Bitul Mekach, and therefore it's only a din midrabanan that you need to reimburse Hekdesh. So that is perfectly fine according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now, L'chora, the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have just very simply answered over here that when Rabbi Yonah says in Shitas Rabbi Yochanan that there's a din of Bitul Mekach by Hekdesh, he means midirabana, not midoraisa. Right? What's our whole stira over here? That Rabbi Yochanan says you only need to reimburse Hegdesh midirabana when the pricing is way off. And that's a stira to what Rabbi Yonah said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that there's bitul mekach. Not necessarily. Maybe when Rabbi Yonah said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, it's bitul mekach, he meant bitul mekach midrabana, not bitul mekach midoraisa. So Tosfos and Tosfos Rosh say, it doesn't sound like it's midrabanan, because it says onah in lehem bitul mekach yesh lehem. That the same way that there's no onah, there is bitul mekach. That makes it sound like all of it is a din doraisa. So if Rabbi Yonah quotes Rabbi Yochanan as having said that there's no onah, but there is bitul mekach, he must mean that there's bitul mekach midoraisa. And therefore we have a stira in Rabbi Yochanan, because over here Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you only need to reimburse Hegdish midrabanan. So says Gemara, li olam bebitul mekach ve'epuch Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. You know what? You're right. We have to switch the shitas of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We must have confused them. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that holds that if you misprice your pidyon of Hegdish, you take your $500 animal of Hegdish and you're poded on a $300 animal of Chulin, that the requirement to reimburse Hegdish, the extra $200, is a requirement midoraisa. That ain't a chinami. Within Rabbi Yonah's version of Rabbi Yochanan must hold that there's bitul mekach for Hegdish even on a doraisa level. Okay, but be that as it may, whoever holds whichever way, we do have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you need to reimburse Hegdish midoraisa or only midrabanan. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the nekudas hamachlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you need to be mashlim the extra money to Hegdish min haTorah or only midrabanan? Now, l'chora, the obvious answer would be that the nekudas hamachlokas is there bitul mekach by Hegdish or not? Exactly what the Gemara has been trying to drive at the entire time. That was Rabbi Ami Shaila that started off our whole sugya. So the Ritva writes, no, the Gemara doesn't want to say that, because if that were the case, then they should have just said beferish, that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish are arguing whether there's bitul mekach for Hegdish or not. It's not what they said. They went about it in a much more roundabout way. Oh, there is a Mishnah in Temurah that says that if the behemoth was a balmum, yatzul l'chulin, tzorech l'asos Damim. What does that Mishnah mean? Tzorach Tasel Damim Midorais Midorais. What a roundabout way of saying that they're arguing whether Bitul Nechach applies to Hekdish or doesn't apply to Hekdish. So the Ritva says it's too roundabout a way, meaning it's so roundabout that it can't be that that's the Nekudas HaMachlokas. And that's why the Gemara wants to know, so what Taka is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Whether the din that you need to make Hekdish whole, that you need to pay the $200 extra to Hekdish, is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So three possibilities of what the Nekudas HaMachlokas in fact is. So possibility number one is Bidda Shmuel. They're arguing about the Shita of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Shmuel holds that Hekdish Shavamana Shechilal Shavapruta Mechulal. That if Hekdish is worth $100 and you mechal it on $1, that it's Mechulal, that it works. So Mar Islay the Shmuel, the one that says Midoraisa, you don't really need to make Hekdish whole, it's only a Din Midrabanan, the Midoraisa, even though there was a massive discrepancy in the price between what used to belong to Hekdish and what now belongs to Hekdish, that Midoraisa, it's fine, you don't have to worry about it. So Islay, and it's only Midrabanan that you need to make Hekdish whole. Islay the Shmuel holds like Shmuel, that you could be Mechal al Mamun of Hekdish, even on things that are worth way, way less than it, even if the pricing is off by way more than a sixth. Now, Shmuel never even mentions that you need to make Hekdish whole midrabanan. That's what the Tosa Rush points out, that even though Shmuel never mentions that even midrabanan you have to do anything. He just says it works. That's because he's trying to tell me that the being mechalal it works even on a pruta achas. But the Mishnah in the Tmura, which wants to tell me to be po de shava b'shava, but you may mean that. That is Shmuel's case is where you did it on purpose. You purposely were mechalalit on a pruta, on something that you know is worth way less. So maybe in such a case, there is no din midrabanan that you need to reimburse Hekdish. Maybe the din midrabanan that you need to reimburse Hekdish is only like a case in the Mishnah in Temura where you were trying to do even, here's an animal, and you just didn't think to assess the values of the animal. You only realized later that they were off. So that's where midrabanan, the rabbanan are mesakeid, you have to be mekayim what you're original machshava was to give Hekdish equal value. So even though Shmuel doesn't even mention midrabanan that you need to reimburse Hekdish, it could be because in Shmuel's case you did it on purpose, and if you did it on purpose, so you accomplished what you meant to accomplish. But anyway, the shita that holds that you only need to reimburse Hekdish midrabanan must subscribe to Shmuel that things don't have to be even when you're machal Hekdish, or my last thing to Shmuel, and the shita that holds that you need to reimburse Hekdish on a daraisa level must disagree with Shmuel. Then say that you cannot be mechalal Hekdish when the pricing is going to be way off. So that is one interpretation of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, that they argue within Shitas Shmuel. Iba Yisema, or the machlokas could be understood a second way, that the Kuli Alma Islu the Shmuel. Everyone agrees that Hekdish and Shava Mana could be mechulal on that which is Shava Pruta. Vahacha, and over here, when we're talking about being mechalal a behema on another behema that's worth not as much as it, Vahacha Miflugi, what Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish are arguing is the following. The Mar Sover, the one that says, Min HaTorah, you have to reimburse Hekdish for the, you have to make Hekdish whole again, and you have to pay the extra $200 of the discrepancy. Shechilulo in the Chachilulo holds that Shmuel, when he says that if you're Mechalal Hekdish Shavamana on the Shavapruta, that it works. The whole discussion is Bidiyevit if you did that. It says if you have a Hekdish Shavamana, Shechilulo al Shavapruta, that you improperly went ahead and were Mechalal on the Shavapruta. It works, but lechatchila, you're absolutely not allowed to do that. Torah says erkecha, so it sounds like there's a requirement that the pidyon needs to be as valuable as the hegdish, and therefore, even though b'di'evet, if you did it, if you were mechalal hegdish on something that was worth way less than it, it's going to work, but you're going to have to make up the difference, even min haTorah. It's just that if you don't make up the difference, the chilul happened. But even min haTorah, there's a requirement to make up the difference because you're not allowed to do this. Umar Savar, whereas the Shita that holds that you only need to make Hekdish whole on a Drabbanan level, but Min HaTorah you could leave it as is, Savar Avil Chalchila, he holds that Shmuel is not just observing what the Halacha would be if you did this, but holds that even the Chalchila you're allowed to do it, since the Lashon of Erkecha that the Torah says, means erech kol shehu. It doesn't mean the actual value. It doesn't have to be worth the same amount as the hekdesh is worth. And therefore, min haTorah, you don't really have to add anything. And even with Rabbanan, you're allowed to do it lechachila, but nevertheless, the chacham mechayiv you to be mashlimit afterwards. Meaning the din that you're allowed to make this chilul happen, that's a din that's even lechachila. It's just that the Rabbanan then came along and said, okay, you were allowed to do that, but now we're requiring you to make up the difference to pay them back. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos raises the question: how could it be that it's mutar lechachila to cheat hekdesh? I mean, there's such a possibility that I could take a $1,000 item that belongs to hekdesh and say I'm hereby being mechalalit on this pen, that's worth 10 cents that you get in a package of 20 of them for an Amazon. So really, you're allowed to, that there's such a possibility that you're allowed to do this lechachila. It's mufurish in Maseches Arach and Daf Chavtes that it's only a din b'diavad, not lechachila. And also the Gemara in Arachin says that the Bailim is kodem lekol adam to be poda in order that he should be able to be most of a chomesh, right? Meaning if let's say you have two possibilities of who's going to be poda the hegdish, it's either going to be the Bailim or it's going to be somebody else. When the original Bailim is Poda Hagdash, he has to be Mosef Chomesh. If somebody else is Poda Hagdash, they don't have to be Mosef Chomesh. So we say, Bailim Kodmim Kaladam. The Bailim gets first dibs. Why? Because he's going to have to be Mosef Chomesh, and we'd rather Hagdash get more than full value. So you see, we have this interest that we want there to be revach for hegdish. We want hegdish to profit. So you can tell me this din lechachila, I could take $1,000 item worth of hegdish and be mechalal and shav pruta. So the Tosa Rosh is miyashev that the issue to be poda lechachila bepachs mishavya is when there's a beis hamigdash around. That if you're poda bepachs mishavya, then you're actually costing hegdish. But bisman hazeh, where there's no hefsid to hegdish anyway, because there is no beis hamigdash, then you're allowed to do it lechachila. Meaning this din that you're allowed to be pulled there for less than the value is when there's no avenue to, there's nowhere to drop off the hegdish, because unfortunately there's no beis hamikdash to give it to, and hegdish causes us big headaches now, because if you make something hegdish, you got nothing to do with it, and you have to be super careful with it, right? That's why they're makbid that they don't you don't say Pesach Zu at the Seder, right? Because if you can't point to something and call it a Pesach, because that might be that you're being makbid. That's why some of the Ashkachas used to not say Kosher Le Pesach, they would say Kosher Bishvil Pesach or something like that, Bishvil Chaga Pesach or something like that, right? Because they don't want it to make it look like we're saying this is a Pesach, because once you're Makdash, now what am I going to do with it if I made something Kadosh? So that's the answer, says the Tosfos Rosh. Other Rishonim have different answers, but Tosfos Rosh says that's how it could be that Lechachila you're able to cheat Hegdash, because you're not cheating anybody, because Hegdash is not going to get the money anyway. So that's when there's a din lechalchila to do that might even be lechalchila. You're allowed to have such a discrepancy. Now the Gemara says a third possible explanation of the machlokes of Yochanan and Shlakish, where the requirement to reimburse hegdish is a requirement midorais or midrabanan. That really the machlokes that they had is when the discrepancy in price is exactly 1/6. Velo tepuch, and don't switch around the shitos. Rabbi Yochanan is one that says that the chiyuv to reimburse is only midrabanan, and Reish Lakish is the one that holds that it's min haTorah. Rav Chista kemiflugi, and they're arguing about Rav Chista da Amar, because Rav Chista says, "My ein lahamana." What do you think the Mishnah means when it says that hegdish is not subject to onaa? Enon b'toras onaa. It doesn't mean that there's no din of mispricing at all when it comes to hegdish. No, it means that it's not subject to the regular dinim of onaa that you would apply when you were doing a transaction with another person. Rather, the dinim are more chamor when it comes to hegdish. Ta'afilu pachos mikdei onaa chozer. That even if the mispricing is off by less than 1/6, it's a total bitul mega. Yeah, you have to be machzir the onaa. So Rishon. And therefore, Minatora, the guy who's Mechal the Hegdish by 1/6, by a discrepancy of 1/6, has to add to that differential in order to make Hegdish whole. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav Chista, and he understands when the Mishnah says that Hegdish Zein La Emunah, he understood the Mishnah the way we always understood it up until now, that there simply are no dinim of Onah, and the Mekach is going to be Kayim. And if you're Mechal the Hegdish on Chulin, that's with a 1/6 discrepancy, the Chulin is Chal, and Midrabah. And they said, okay, pay back the pay back the discrepancy, but it's only a din midrabanan. If it were more than kadeona by the sheer of bittul mekach, then even Rabbi Yochanan would be moda that the whole chil wouldn't be chal like Rabbi Yochanan said in his name that bittul mekach yesh lahen. That if it were more than a sheer ona, then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that it would be absolute bittul mekach. So this goes back and redraws the whole machlokas that the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan yesh lakish is not when I took a $500 animal and I was mechalin on a $300. Animal, what do I do with the extra $200? No, everyone would agree the whole thing didn't work if you try to do that. You can't that's a bitul mekach. You can't do when it's off by way more than a six, you can't do that. The whole machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish was when it was off by exactly a sixth. Do we say that that has a din of Omna'a? That is and therefore you have to reimburse because when we said in that Hektish doesn't have a din of Omna'a, it means that it's even more strict than Dinei Omna'a? Or do we say, no, it simply doesn't have a din of Omna'a, and therefore on the Doraisa level you don't need to reimburse? Okay, so now the Gemara says, now that we mentioned this wild cheetah of Rav Chista, right? Rav Chista told me a great chiddush that when the Mishnah says there's no din of Omna'a, it means that we're stricter than Omna'a. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Ribis for Onah LaHedyot and Ribis for Onah LaHegdish. So it sounds like there's no din of Ribis or Onah when it comes to Hegdish. According to Rav Chista, there is a din of Onah and Hegdish. There's a stricter din of Onah and Hegdish. How can you say that there's no Onah and Hegdish? So says Gemara, well, Mi'alima Mi'masnisin, is the line in that Brisa any more compelling than the line in our Mishnah that said that there's no Onah for Hegdish? And how do we touch up the Mishnah? That there is a din of Ona'ah, but it's not the regular din of Ona'ah. So, Chadami, you touch up the Brisa the same way that Ribis v'din Ona'ah lehedyot, ve'in Ribis v'din Ona'ah lehegdish. That there's no din of Ona'ah for Hegdish, meaning you don't have the normal dinim of Ona'ah for Hegdish, rather, you have entirely different dinim of Ona'ah, stricter dinim of Ona'ah. Iach, if that's the case, that the Brisa means to tell me that by Hegdish, the halacha is that you need to be machzor the Ona'ah, even if the discrepancy is less than 1/6, Hainu de Katani Seifa, that's what it says in the Seifa of the Brisa, Ze Chomer Behedyot mi Behegdish, that in this sense, Hedyot is more Chomer than Hegdish. No, according to Rav Chista, this is a Chomer that Hegdish has over Hedyot. A Hedyot, you don't have to add any extra money unless it's off by 1/6. Whereas by Hegdish, we're even more machmir, and even if it's off by less than a sixth, you have to be mashlim the money. So how can you say that the Brisa means to tell me that Hegdish has more strict dinim of Ona'ah than Hedyot, if the Brisa in the very next line says, and this is a chumrah that Hedyot has over Hegdish? To the contrary, it's a chumrah that Hegdish has over Hedyot. So it says, Aribis. When we say it's a chumrah that Hedyot has over Hegdish, it's talking about the din of Ribis that the Brisa had also mentioned. The Brisa didn't just mention No, I mentioned Ribis as well. That Ribis is not knowing by Hegdish, because in that sense, Hedyot is more Chabur than Hegdish. So listening, Nami Zechom Hegdish Hedyot Ha'onah. But why doesn't the Brisa also observe that while it may be true that from a Ribis perspective, Hedyot is more Chabur than Hegdish, from an Ona'a perspective, Hegdish is more chumrah than Hedyot? How come we didn't make that same observation? So it says, well, Hachi Hashta, because it's a faulty comparison. Bishlam Zechom Behedyot Mibahegdish. I understand very well the Lashon of the Brisa, as it says right now, of Zechom Behedyot Mibahegdish, that since it's the only chumrah that Hedyot has over Hegdish, so you could say Ze Visulo. Ela Hegdish Ze Chomer Visulo. But if you were going to try to observe the chumrah, that there's a chumrah over here that Hegdish has over Hedyot, it would be inappropriate to say Ze Chomer Behegdish Mibehedyot, because there are a million chumras that Hegdish has over Hedyot. That doesn't take an observation of the Brisa. The Brisa wanted to observe a Chiddush that when it comes to Ribis, there's a chumra that Hedyot has over Hegdish. But the fact that Hegdish has a chumra over Hedyot, that's not a Chiddush, that's not something that only applies to Ona'ah, that's something that's a much broader possibility. So now the Gemara says, okay, wait, we just mentioned in this Braisa that there's no din of ribis by Hegdish. What would be the case? Hegdish is a money lending business. What's going on? Where would there ever be ribis going on with Hegdish? Ribis to Hegdish Hechidami. What would be the case where I would think there is ribis by Hegdish? I need a Braisa to tell me that there's no din of ribis by Hegdish. Maybe the case is that it's a money lending business, that the Gizbar is lending out, figures, you know, what's the best way to make money for Hegdish? He's in charge of Mammon Hegdish. He's got a fiduciary responsibility to Hegdish to make sure. And he thinks, how do people make the most money? Well, banks do it by lending X amount of money and taking back X plus whatever. So I'll try the same thing for Hegdish. I'll give out $100 of Hegdish and I'll take back $120. But Valomol Gizbar, if that's the case, the Gizbar already committed Mi'ila, because by lending the money had gone out to Chulin without anyone giving him anything back on the spot. So if you're not Mechalel the money on something, so then it's just a violation of Mi'ila. So even though it's true, Mi'ila is only when we do something B'shogeg, over here he made a mistake, B'shogeg, by thinking it's Mutzvah to do this in order that Hegdish should be able to benefit from the ribbis. That's how Rashi understands, that this is a violation of Mi'ila, because he obviously thought this was mutter. He thought this was part of his fiduciary responsibility to do whatever he can to be able to make money for Hegdish. So he obviously thought this was mutter, but it's Mi'ila because he's taking money of Hegdish, getting nothing back right now. It's in 6 months from now, someone's got to pay him $120, but right now he's getting nothing back. So it's straight a violation of Mi'ila. So it's not going to be. So it doesn't go to Chulin. So Kivin Shemal Gizbar, I'm sorry. So Kivin Shemal Gizbar Yotzim Osav L'Chulin V'Havelu Tehedyot. Well, once the Gizbar violated Mi'ila, the money immediately becomes Chulin, and then it becomes Hedyot. So it's not a halva of Hegdish at all. It's halva of Chulin money. So you can't say that that's what the Brisa means. Meaning, when the Brisa says that there's no ribis for Hegdish, you can't say it's a case where a Gizbar is b'shogeg lending out money of Hegdish for more money back, because that's not a case of Hegdish anymore. As soon as he starts lending out the money, it becomes a case of Hedyot. So that can't be. So Amar Rav Hoshaya, Rav Hoshaya says, no, the Braisa is not talking about an actual loan, but Hachamayaskinan, the case of the Braisa is Kigon Shekibel Lav Lesapik Slosos, the Gizbar gave money to a particular supplier, and in exchange for that, that guy is supposed to give solas for Menachos throughout the rest of the year. He's supposed to provide flour for the Kavanas Mincha for the rest of the year. May arba va'amdu mishalosh. That originally the price was 4 se'in of flour for each sela of money that was provided to this person, even though they didn't know how much what the prices were going to be. And then at some point later, the prices changed, and you can only buy 3 se'in of flour for a sela. So the gabe ahediot, the din would be that you're not allowed to be posek a price in advance before the prices are set, because that's a violation of ribbis. We're going to see that in the next parak, which is going to be all about ribbis and ezu neshech, because the guy got all the money up front to provide the flour, and in exchange for that, he's giving a better deal on flour. So that's that's not okay. So that would be ribbis on a halva of the money. But by Hegdish, you're allowed to do that, and that's what the price is saying, that ain't ribis lahegdish. That if I set a price for the flour by paying up front, even though really I'm getting an exceptional price because I should only be able to get 3 se'in of flour for that amount of money, the guy still has to provide hegdish with the better price. So the Gemara brings a raya that by hegdish you're allowed to do this, because it's not, because there's a mishnah maseches shkalim. Hamakabel of lesapik slosos me arba. If a person has taken upon himself to provide the flour that the Beis HaMikdash needs for 4 se'in for each sela, v'amdu mishalosh, and then the price has changed that it's 3 se'in of flour for a sela, misapik me'arba. He has to provide based on the price of 4 se'in for a sela. Mishalosh v'amdu me'arba, misapik me'arba. If initially he had agreed to give 3 se'in for each sela, and now it's flour is much cheaper, you can get 4 se'in for a sela, well, he's got to provide at the current date. birthday prices of Yad Hegdash al Elyona. Hegdash always gets the better end of the deal. So the Gemara brings another explanation for what the Brisa means when it says Ein Behegdash Din Ribis. So Rav Papa Amar Hacha Ba'avni Binyan Hamsuras LeGizbar Askinan. We're talking about the Avanim that were given to the Gizbar for building of the Mikdash, and the Avanim were not yet Hukdash, and therefore when the Gizbar lent the Gizbar lent them, he did not violate Mi'ila, and that's what the Brisa is Mechadesh, that the Gizbar is allowed to lend it with Ribbis. And the reason is because the Avnei Binyan were given to the Gizbar before their Mukdash. Kiddush Shmuel, the Amr Shmuel, because Shmuel said, Bonin Bechol V'acharkach Makdishin, that first they would build with Chulin stones, and then they'd be Makdish. So two explanations of what the Brisa meant when the Brisa said that Hegdish is not subject to Ribbis. Either that someone had agreed, that they had made, put an agreement in place for someone to provide flour, and then the price has changed, so even though normally that would be a din of ribbis, not over here. Or we're talking about with the provision of Avnei Binyan, that the Gizbar is not moel in making the Hegdish money chulin for the Avnei Binyan, because the practice was that the Avnei Binyan were chulin and then they would be makdish it afterwards. Okay, now we go on to all the other dinim it said in the Mishnah that do not apply to Avadim Shtaros, Karkos, and Hegdeshos. So we said Ein Ben Tashlumi Kefel, that you don't pay Kefel if you stole such things. I mean, anonymously, how do I know that if a person stole Avadim Shtaros, Karkos, that there's no Tashlumi Kefil, the Tanur Rabbanon, because we have a Brisa, says as follows. The Brisa tells us, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, the Pasuk says, Klal. That's a Klal. Al Shor, Al Chamar, Al Sal, Salma, Prat. That's a Prat. Al Kol, Aveda, Asher Yomar, Chazar, Vekola. So that's a Klal. Klal, Prat, Klal, Yatadon, Elekhen, a Prat. So we're only including those things that are similar to the Prat. So Maha Prat, just like the items identified specifically, Shor, Chamor, Seh, Salma, all of those things are Meforosh, Dovra, Metalto, the Gufo Mammon. They're movable objects and they have inherent value. I've called Dovra, Metalto, the Gufo Mammon. So too, paying Kefel applies only to things that are movable objects and have inherent value. Yotzu karka shein metaltlin. Therefore, you knock out karka because karka is not metaltlin. Yotzu avadim shuk shel karkos. And anytime you knock out karka, you're going to knock out avadim because avadim are hukash shel karkos. Yotzu shtaros shav pisha metaltlin ein gufan mamod. We also knock out shtaros because even though they're metaltlin, they don't have inherent value. And hekdeshos, and the gabi hekdeshos, we know amar kral re'ehu v'lo lehekdesh re'ehu v'lo hekdesh. That we learn from the word re'eyu that the din of kefel doesn't apply to hegdish. Okay, so that's why I know the din of kefel doesn't apply to these four items. But then we said velo tashlumi arba v'chamisha, the din of dalet v'hei also doesn't apply to these four items. So my time, why doesn't dalet v'hei apply? Because tashlumi arba v'chamisha merachman velo tashlumi shlosh v'arba. Once tashlumi kefel doesn't apply, arba v'chamisha can't apply either, because there's no such din of shlosh v'arba. There's only a din of arba v'chamisha. Then we said that a Shomer Chinam does not swear on that he was, meaning if something happens to Avadim Shtaros, Karkos, or Hekdeshos, that he was supposed to be Shomer, he doesn't have to swear that he wasn't Poshea. Normally, Shomer Chinam has to swear he wasn't Poshea. Minanimili, how do I know that he has no obligation to swear in such cases? Titan Rabbanan, we have a Brisa that darshans the Psukim that talk about a Shomer Chinam. The Pesukim say, Ki ite nishal reyu kesef akelim l'shmar v'gunav mibesei ish im yimatzei aganav yishalim shnayim. And then it says, Im lo yimatzei aganav v'nikrav balabayis el elohim im lo sholach yado b'melachas reyehu. That the Shomer has to swear to get out of having to pay. So the Brice of Darshan is a klal l'prat u'klal. Ki ite nishal reyehu, that sounds like it could be anything. So that's klal. Kesef o kelim Prat. So that's a very specific thing. And then maybe the gear says v'gudam beisa ish chazar v'kalal. And then we have another klal. So klal prat klal yatodan elokin prat. So what's included in the din of a shomer chinam being nishba v'niftar is only things that are similar to the prat. Ma prat, just like the prat which was kesef v'kalim meforash davar metaltal v'guf amamun. It's movable items and it's inherently valuable. Af kol davar metaltal v'guf amamun yasu karkol shein metaltan. So it knocks out karka because that's that's not metaltlin. Yatsu avadim shuk shul karkos and naksar avadim, because that's similar to karka. Yatsu shtarish alf pisha metaltlin and guf mamon and naksar shtaros, because they don't have inherent value. And ekdeshos amakor re'ehu v'lo shal hagdish. And ekdeshos is easy to knock out because the pasuk says re'ehu, so not shal hagdish. No si sachar eina mishalim. How do I know that a shomer sachar doesn't pay for gnev v'aveda on these items? Minani mili detan rabbanon. We have a brisa ki itenishal re'ehu klal chamor oshor oseh. Prat, v'kol be'im l'shmar, chazer v'cholal. So, klal prat v'klal. When you have a klal prat v'klal, yetza donel ken a prat. The din of a shomer sachar having to pay for gnev aveda is only when it's similar to the prat. Ma prat mufurish, just like the prat which was chamor, shor, and se, is davra mitaltel, it's a movable object, v'gufo mamon, and inherently valuable. I've called davra mitaltel v'gufo mamon. So, it only includes, shomer sachar only has to pay for a gneva if it's mitaltel and it's gufo mamon. Yetzu kar which knocks out karka because it's not metaltlin. You also avadim shuk shul karkos, it knocks out avadim because avadim has always the same din as karka. You also shtaros avshim metaltlin and gufan mamun, and knocks out shtaros because even though they are movable, they are not inherently valuable. And ekdeshos, how do I know to exclude ekdeshos from the chiv of a shomer sachar? Because amakra re'ehu v'lo shal hagdi re'ehu v'lo shal hagdish. It says ki din shal re'ehu. So from that we knock out the possibility of hagdi. Okay, so Bezrem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots at the very bottom of the page. Shomer Chinam, Eino Nishpa. A good night, everybody. Have a great day.